Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open Purposeful Performance by Jonathan Stanley. Sophie, you and I both read this one, and I gotta say, it hit me harder than I expected. What was your first reaction?
Oh, same. I thought it was gonna be another hustle harder book, but it's the opposite. It's about slowing down and asking why before you speed up. Honestly, it felt like a relief to read.
Right? The opening really got me. He talks about what he calls the productivity trap. It's that feeling of being slammed all day, checking off tasks, but at the end of the week, you wonder if any of it mattered.
Exactly. And his point is that we've been trained to value activity over accomplishment and accomplishment over alignment. We're rewarded for doing things, but nobody asks if the things are worth doing in the first place.
That line about the boxes being worth checking really stuck with me. He says we're so busy checking boxes that we never stop to ask if the boxes themselves are the right ones. And that leads to burnout and this fragile kind of success that just crumbles when things get hard.
And the big idea is that purpose isn't a reward you get after you've made it. It's the engine that gets you there. Purpose gives you the emotional fuel to keep going, the resilience to bounce back, and the clarity to make tough calls.
Okay, so he builds this whole framework around something called the performance compass. For points, and they're not just fluffy ideas. He treats them like skills you can train.
Clarity, energy, courage, and connection. And the compass replaces the old linear goal-setting model. Instead of asking what you want to achieve, you start with why that achievement matters. That why becomes your magnetic north.
Let's unpack that, because clarity isn't just knowing your goals. It's about ruthless self-awareness. He calls it finding your core intent, which is a single statement that defines the value you bring to the world. Not a company mission, but a personal one.
And it sits at the intersection of your deepest skills, your greatest passions, and the world's needs. He calls it the sweet spot of significance. But here's the catch. Clarity is a discipline, not a discovery. You have to constantly prune distractions and learn to say no to good opportunities so you can say yes to great ones.
He warns against shiny object syndrome. Without a clear intent, you're just chasing whatever glitters. But with clarity, you can look at 100 paths and know which one is yours. That part felt like he was talking directly to me.
Oh, me too. Then he moves to energy, and this is where he made me rethink how I work. He says willpower is finite, but purpose-generated energy is renewable. There's a difference between managed energy, which is running on caffeine and deadlines, and generated energy, which comes from alignment with your core intent.
When you're working on something that truly matters, the work itself gives you energy instead of draining you. He talks about rhythmic work cycles, deep focus, and a non-negotiable role of recovery. He even calls it purposeful rest. It's not lazy, it's active restoration. Sleep, exercise, time in nature, real connection with people.
And his line is that the most productive people aren't the ones who work the longest hours. They're the ones who work in intense, focused bursts, followed by deliberate, high-quality recovery. He says energy is the currency of performance and purpose is the mint.
That's a great image. Now courage. He redefines it as acting in the face of fear, but he adds a twist. He calls it purpose-driven bravery. When your core intent is clear, the fear of failure is often outweighed by the fear of not living up to your potential.
And he gives tools for reframing the fears that derail us. There's the October 10th, 10 rule. Ask yourself how you'll feel about a decision in 10 minutes, in 10 months, and in 10 years. That usually shows that the short-term discomfort of being brave is a tiny price for long-term alignment.
He also kills the fear of failure by promoting a learning mindset. Failure isn't the opposite of success, it's data. When your performance is anchored in purpose, every setback is a lesson, not a verdict. The goal is to make mistakes faster, learn deeply, and apply the lesson immediately.
And then there's connection. He says no one achieves anything meaningful alone. But he's not talking about networking in the transactional sense. He means generative connection, relationships built on mutual respect, shared purpose, and genuine care.
He calls it the trust dividend. When trust is high, communication is faster, collaboration is smoother, and innovation just flourishes. He's got practical advice too, like radical generosity, active listening, and vulnerability.
And for leaders, he introduces purposeful leadership. The leader's main job isn't to direct, but to connect the team's daily grind to a larger, meaningful mission. That's how you get performance you can't force through command and control.
So we've got the 4 points, but he doesn't just leave you with a compass. He gives you a cycle to run called the performance loop. Align, act, assess, and adjust. First, you align with your core intent before you start. Then you act with focus. Then you assess honestly, not critically. And then you adjust and go again.
It's continuous. He emphasizes that purposeful performance is a practice, not a destination. You're always recalibrating and learning. And he has this powerful section on purposeful failure. He says the most successful people fail forward.
Right? He distinguishes between stupid failure, which is from carelessness, and smart failure, which is the result of taking calculated risks. And he suggests creating a failure resume. You list your biggest mistakes, what you learned, and how you changed. It turns shame into wisdom.
He also has the pre-mortem. Before a project, you imagine it failed spectacularly, then work backward to figure out why. That way you can fix problems before they happen. It's like a risk assessment from the future.
One of the most grounding parts for me was when he talks about not loving your job. He doesn't assume everyone can just quit and find their dream. He introduces job crafting, where you reshape your current role to fit your strengths and values. You might change tasks, relationships, or even how you think about the work.
And his example is a janitor who finds purpose in creating a clean, safe space for kids to learn. Or a customer service rep who sees themselves as a source of calm for a stressed caller. Purpose isn't something you find, it's something you create, no matter your circumstances.
That reframe is huge. He ends with a call to abandon the default life, the one scripted by society, and design a purposeful life. He gives exercises for a personal purposeful performance plan, but he's clear that the path is not easy. It takes discipline, sacrifice, and a willingness to be uncomfortable.
But the reward is that you're not just achieving more, you're feeling more. You get the deep satisfaction of knowing your efforts are part of something bigger. And the ultimate measure of success isn't what you achieve, but who you become in the process.
Honestly, the one thing I'm taking away is that I need to stop treating my to-do list like it's my life's blueprint. I'm going to start every week by asking why this matters, and I'll cut anything that doesn't point back to that.
That's a solid plan. And if you want to dive deeper into this one, the whole library is on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. Purposeful performance reminds us that the deepest well of success isn't hustle, it's meaning. When you anchor your actions in a clear why, the work itself becomes the reward. We'll see you in the next one.